B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tell you what, we don't get many agenda-free Fridays like this one. We got a full show for you here today on Felger and Maz. Mike is out, so Jim Murray's alongside. Matt McCarthy is here as well to give us headlines. And a good day to have Matt here with the Major League Baseball trading deadline now just a couple of hours away. And so I'll tell you what, we're going to get right to it. Because, again, there's a ton going on all of a sudden, Murray. There's an absolute ton going on. David Krejci out. Cam Newton and Mac Jones have spoken down in Foxborough. The MLB trading deadline, 2 hours away. All kinds of stuff going on here, and we'll have it all for you here over the next 4 hours. Just a quick reminder, Agenda Free Fridays, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. When you buy or lease your car from Bernardi, they have no agenda. They just want to get you the car you want with exceptional service. That's it. Find your next Audi, Acura, Honda, or Toyota now at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Again, BernardiAutoGroup.com, and I can tell you personally, I bought a few cars from them, and I love the place. So that's an aside. So who wants to go first? Murray, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll go first with the this news that just broke here within the last hour. David Krejci formally announcing he's not going to return to the Bruins, that he intends to play in his homeland, the Czech Republic. I have it on pretty good authority, by the way, that this isn't any kind of bombshell to the team. This is totally his choice. And he told the Bruins of this decision as far back as 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. which is likely why you got that flurry of signings of all those forwards when free agency started up the other day. It's also my understanding that the key part of his statement comes at the end, which I will read in case you haven't seen it. But at the end, the last paragraph says, "This is not goodbye. I will not be a stranger. I will be a Bruin forever. I will see you at the TD Garden soon, and I will always bleed black and gold with gratitude, David." So that being said, depending on what happens with the Czech Extra Liga season, which starts the middle of September, ends in March, who knows? He could be back sooner than you think. It's just something to keep in mind.
So wait a minute, Murray. Hold on. I was just going to say, obviously you have inside info here, but you're saying that that his career with the Bruins is not necessarily done.
We'll leave it a speculation there. Brown checkmarky speculation. So just something to keep in mind. I think there's a key part of that statement at the end that he leaves the door open. I think this is... Again, just he could be back sooner than you think.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Very interesting tidbit, meaning that he'd be around for the playoffs, Murray.
Well,
what you're getting at.
Possibly. So again, just, you know, keep that feather in your cap. But overall, like, I don't damn the guy. And frankly, if I had a young family like him in dual citizenship with the state of everything here in this country, I'd probably run out of here like my hair was on fire, too, if I made my money and had an opportunity elsewhere. So I don't blame him on that end. But overall, just from like a Bruins this season, this coming season standpoint, I'm all for new blood. I'm for new faces. I didn't mind if they moved on from him. I did, though, figure once you re-up Taylor Hall, you'd kind of have to bring David Krejci back. Seemed like that they had something going on that second line, but what the hell do I know? Instead, you get all these middling moves, depth guys, and essentially what Don Sweeney is calling second-line center by committee, which I don't think is a plan at all. And I ultimately agree with what Felger was alluding to yesterday, and that these are a lot of these moves are just like CYA, they're cover your ass by the Bruins brass, and it's just making sure they make the playoffs, maybe win a round or two, and it's just good enough, and good enough never is. It's one of the great lessons my parents ever told me. Good enough never is, and it just kind of sums up the Bruins experience for most of my life, too. So I kind of liked those moves the other day, but I don't know, the way that Don Sweeney talked about it afterwards, it poured cold water all over it, and it just feels like meh.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I want to get into this more with you, Murray, because, I'm intrigued now by what you said about Krejci potentially being here at the end of the year. But we'll get to I had a take on Krejci, too. I was going to hold off on it, but maybe we'll get to it momentarily. In the interim, let me just remind you, we'll get to your calls right in the first segment here, like we always do. 617-779-0985. The phone lines are open. Jimmy Stewart's out today, but Billy's producing the show. So standard operating procedure on Felger and Maz. McCarthy, go.
Yeah, MLB trading deadline day. One of the best days, at least of the year for me, particularly as somebody who loves baseball. So I'm just going to start with what we know, Maz, and it's the only move the Red Sox have made, which is Kyle Schwarber, which I like. I like this trade the Red Sox made last night because anytime you can improve your team, you should. And he improves their team. And if you're the Red Sox, you should make a deal like this 10 out of 10 times because, especially given their resources, you should be able to find three more versions of Aldo Ramirez, who's the prospect you traded away. So I like this move in a vacuum. I do. But let me make this clear. Getting quiet Kyle Schwarber is not enough. All right? This is a good trade, but if this is all that you do, that is not even close to enough because he does not fit their two glaring needs, which is first base and starting pitching. He is an outfielder DH type. You got to understand this with Schwarber. He's played first base, guess how many times in his life? One. One time in his professional career he's played first base. That's it. He is Duran insurance. He's Renfro insurance. That's good. You need that. You need outfield depth. This is a good trade. It makes your team better. So I'm not here to crush the Red Sox for making what I think is a good baseball trade that helps their team this year. I just want to make it very clear. This does not address the needs that they desperately need to address, and we're going to find out over the next 2 hours whether the Red Sox are going to address this or if they're just going to say, we added a good baseball player. That's it. That's enough. We did what we could. No, not enough. This is good. This is a nice first step, but it's not enough. Good trade, but you got to do something here in the next 1 hour and 52 minutes.
So I'll tell you what, again, I have my thoughts on that Schwarber deal. When I heard about it, I admittedly was a little bit surprised. But again, we'll get to that momentarily. And I'll tell you, it really is. I said this at the start of the show. You never have team building going on in three sports like it's going on right now.
It's awesome.
It's the major league trading deadline. You had the NBA draft. Not that the Celtics were a prominent factor in that last night. They didn't have anything higher than the 45th pick. And NHL free agency this week. And David Krejci announces today that he's going back to play in the Czech Republic, in the event that you had not heard that. Murray clearly has some inside information on that, so we'll get to more on that in a moment. Here's where I want to open, and it relates to the Major League Baseball trading deadline, which, again, is now an hour and 50 minutes away, give or take. Okay, an hour and 50 minutes away is the Major League Baseball trading deadline. And let me just say, as an aside, and I said this to McCarthy when he walked in, this has been a good deadline.
It's been awesome, hasn't it?
I can't remember
Explosive.
The last time. Yeah. I can't remember the last time that baseball had a deadline like this.
And
I love
more,
it.
There's more to come, too.
And I think there are still moves coming. I mean, you got some good players moving here at this deadline. For all of the hot air and bull crap that gets tossed around and no deals coming through, Scherzer's been dealt. Barrios has been dealt. Rizzo has been dealt. Who am I leaving out? Gallo has been dealt. Nelson Cruz has moved.
Chris Bryant's like the only other huge name still out there.
And Murray, I think he's going to go.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go. I think he's going to be on the move. But again, we got an hour and 50 minutes left.
Trade deadlines really never live up to the hype like this in any sport where like all these major names and like the speculation of moves like end up happening. It's usually like, hey, maybe get one or two. But this has been, it's lived up to the hype.
Absolutely. Especially in baseball, the trading deadline usually sucks, Murray. Usually, there aren't usually a lot of deals like this, and there's been a flurry of activity. I think a lot of it has been economically driven in the wake of COVID because, like, normally, I don't think the Twins would move a guy like Barrios. I don't, but they did. Again, he's got a year to go still after this season. So, but again, we'll get to your calls here in just a second. Here's my current deadline takeaway. If the Red Sox end up losing this division, we're going to point to July 30th as the day.
Sure will.
We are going to point to the All-Star break in July 30th, and we're going to say the Red Sox lost the division in the middle of July and the end of July. The Rays got Nelson Cruz. The Astros have made two deals for relievers, including Kendall Graveman. Toronto today added Jose Barrios, who I think is better than any starter the Red Sox have. If Toronto gets in this thing now and sneaks in, and I'm not sure they're a threat for the division, but who knows? They did just kick the crap out of you last night. I love that move for the Blue Jays. Absolutely love it, and they are now more of a factor going forward than they would have been otherwise. The Yankees got Gallo and Rizzo. Now, I don't love both of those players, but I think they're good fits in New York, and is there a guy who looks better, would look better in pinstripes and in New York than Rizzo? Rizzo to me is like the perfect Yankee.
Perfect fit.
He's the perfect Yankee. Oakland has added two players, Starling Marte and the left-handed reliever from the Cubs, Chafin.
Yep.
The White Sox added a second baseman.
And a reliever.
And so I look at all this and say, okay, Kyle Schwarber, pretty good player. He's hurt. And again, I have specific thoughts about Schwarber, but if the Red Sox blow this division, and the Red Sox ending up getting bounced early in the playoffs, we are going to look at the All-Star break when they basically kind of fell apart in the final week there. And coming out of the break, they lost 4 out of 6 and then came out and played badly against the Yankees. So they went 3-6 in 9 games around the break. And we're going to look at the trading deadline as the reason they lost it. Because right now, and again, there's an hour and 40-something minutes to go till the deadline. But right now, I feel like the other teams have made up ground and Boston has lost ground. That's how I feel. Obviously, we'll see how it goes. Because you never know how these things take at the deadline, but I feel like other teams have made more substantive moves than the Red Sox have. What do you think? 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off with Matt, who's in New Bedford. Go ahead, Matt. Matt, are you there?
Okay, go. I'm pissed about this losing David Krejci. Not for the fact that we're losing him, but for the fact we have no plan. Who's our plan? Charlie Coyle? This leadership group said that they knew the Bruins' weaknesses. Clearly they didn't, because they haven't addressed it. The biggest money they threw out was at goalie, which was the only position where they should have had strength. This ownership, it starts with the ownership group, and they treat the Bruins fan base like, you know, it's our first scene on the black leather couch. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, he's upset. Murray, does this alter your perception of the deadline at all and what the Bruins did now that Krejci is gone?
I mean, they're not as good of a team as they were yesterday with him, you know, ostensibly still on the roster, or them maybe trying to make a move to bring him back for 1 year, you know, like you still think he's going to be around, you bring him back, okay. Again, while I'm okay with them ultimately, you know, or him moving on, because I think it has gotten stale here, you need some new faces, new blood. I thought it really worked well with Taylor Hall. And with Taylor Hall coming back, I thought that meant Krejci was going to come back. So like the caller said, this now puts more pressure on someone like Charlie Coyle or maybe even someone like Jack Stanika to raise up their game. And I don't know. Like, I think Coyle's just whatever and Stanika's blech. Like, there's not much of a plan there. And it just feels like it's been a scramble of moves because, from my understanding, again, they knew that this was going to happen a couple of weeks ago. So that's why you saw a lot of these forward signs just the other day.
Boy, the Bruins really do have a lot invested in Coyle, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not just talking about the dollars. I'm talking about there's a lot of responsibility now. Charlie Coyle had 16 points last year in 51 games. 16. The year before, he had 37 and 70. All told with the Bruins, 142 games, 59 points. 59 points. We'll take a Red Sox call here, too. And then, again, we'll get to a lot of stuff here. It's going to be an eventful 4 hours here on Felger Mass today. Tommy is in Lynn. Our buddy Tommy, what do you got, Tommy?
All right, Maz. I like Kyle Scherzer, but we need to get a starting pitcher, Maz, and then we're right there. We can contend in the AL, and we can win the World Series. I have faith in this team. And also, Murray.
Yes.
Are you on tomorrow? Is there a Gasper and Murray?
Yep. Live from Gillette Stadium for Patriots training camp. Call in, Tom.
Can you say, go Bucks, go, real quick for me?
Go Bucks, go, Tommy.
Right, there you go. Tommy, have a good weekend, pal.
Yes, and enjoy some sherbet at the Red Sox.
Yes, I want pitching too, Tommy. I do. I want pitching too. But as it relates to David Krejci, Murray touched on this. I do have a thought as it relates to Krejci in particular. I also have a thought as it relates to Kyle Schwarber. We'll get to all of those here on Agenda Free Friday. We are off and running on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What has your communication with David Krejci been in recent weeks, and do you know what his intentions are?
I have been in touch with David and going to respect all his privacy and decisions at this point in time. Has not given a firm indication. As he referenced before, he's got some things that he wants to address, and then he'll let us know. But yeah, I have been in regular communication with David, and there's no timeline to make decisions.
Well, you're coming up on free agency. Do you have do you have any kind of, you said there's no deadline, but you have to move forward. Does this put you in a bind at all?
No. I mean, we have guys that will step into roles. Obviously, we'll address needs throughout our lineup and certainly explore options to have and address it as we come. We certainly have to acknowledge that it would be a big hole if we had to fill it, but a real good opportunity for someone if we do go in that direction. You know, we're going to have to find a way to spread things around if David makes a decision otherwise, but you know, that hasn't been the indication. We're hopeful that he would come back, and we'll see.
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Another American League contender getting better. Jeff Passan, blue checkmark of ESPN reporting. The Chicago White Sox are finalizing a deal to acquire closer Craig Kimbrel from the Chicago Cubs. Sources tell ESPN. So he stays out of the division, but he comes to the American League. Again, another American League contender getting stronger today. Mass?
Okay, so again, that's just a bit of breaking news, and we'll do that here over the course of the next couple hours. If and when there are deals that are worth announcing, I think that one is. Kimbrel's a big piece. Goes to the White Sox. And again, you know, with the way the playoff structure is, as Matt McCarthy pointed out, that does affect the Red Sox chances in the American League. All these teams in the American League feel like they're making multiple moves, except for the Red Sox, who've added Kyle Schwarber, which we'll get to again momentarily. But another piece of breaking news here today, just before we came on the air, happening during the midday program, David Krejci announced that he is moving his family to the Czech Republic, and he's going to play in the Czech Republic this year. What you heard just now coming back from the break was an exchange between Don Sweeney and Steve Conroy of the Boston Herald. That was about a week ago, leading into free agency, where Sweeney said, no, we're not against it. We don't have any issue going to the deadline. We don't need to know Krejci's answer, what have you. Murray, what do your sources say?
Well, again, I've heard brown checkmarky type thing that you know, he told the team a couple of weeks ago. So you just heard there in that exchange with Don Sweeney was a lie.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, and I said this to Billy before we came on the air, since why I had Billy pull the exchange with Conroy. It was absolutely a lie. And again, and I don't blame the Bruins for lying. I'm just telling you that they knew.
Oh, yeah, there was no rush about a timeline because they already knew David Krejci's decision. Because, again, my understanding is a couple of weeks ago, it's all David Krejci's decision. This wasn't a push-out by the team or anything like that. I think what he put in his statement is true. It's more, you know, about his family. He wants to go over there, play in the Czech Republic for a bit. Again, a bit, because the end of the statement is key. But he told them a couple of weeks ago, look, this is what I'm going to do. So therefore, Don Sweeney was like, ah, timeline. We don't have to worry about that.
Okay, before we get to the end of the statement, Murray, because I do want to touch on that part of it, too. Because, again, it sounds like you have some insight. Can we call it insight, Murray?
Insight, yes.
Okay. Murray has an interesting perspective on the end of David Krejci's statement and what it means. But going into free agency, I think the Bruins and Krejci, I think the Bruins told Krejci, listen, you want to go play in the Czech Republic? Fine, no problem. Don't announce this yet. Just sit tight. Let us get through free agency. Let us get some other players here. Let us get our ducks in a row so that we don't have to go out on the market with everybody knowing the Bruins need a second line center. So they wink, wink, nod, nod. Okay, all good. Everybody knew what the deal was. They went out and signed a flurry of forwards to fill in the bottom two lines, all bottom six forwards, basically. They're going to bump Coyle up to second line center, and they're going to go from there. I'm totally with Murray on this. I think the Bruins knew. I think Krejci told them what he was going to do a while ago, and I think the Bruins kept it under wraps until the first wave of free agency played out because they didn't want anybody leveraging them on the open market. On top of that, Krejci might not totally be gone if you believe Murray, and I do. Go ahead, Murray.
So again, the end of the statement reads, this is not goodbye. I will not be a stranger. I will be a Bruin forever. I will see you at the TD Garden soon, and I will always bleed black and gold. So maybe, and I know it was like an injury thing that the Tampa Bay Lightning played around with there, but maybe this plays out like a Kucherov type of situation. And they said, all right, fine. You go play in the Czech Republic again. My understanding is the season, the league he's going to play in starts September 10th, ends in the middle of March. Go play over there. Your kids get to see you. You hang with your family. They get to experience life in the Czech Republic for an extended period of time. Come back in the playoffs.
See, that's right. Murray, you know what word is missing from Krejci's statement? Retirement.
Retirement. Done. Yeah.
Right? There's no mention of retirement. He does not say that he is retired. And so, again, I was in the car when this broke, and I heard Tim McCone read the, or I think it was Hardy who actually read the statement by Krejci, and I never heard the word retirement. He just said he wants to move to the Czech Republic. He wants his kids to learn the language. He wants his kids to grow up in the city where he grew up in. But he never said, I'm retiring from the NHL. It's not in his statement. So it does sound like the Bruins are leaving open the door for Krejci to come back in the spring, like you said, a Kucherov type of thing, Murray, where he would jump in and potentially play for them in the playoffs. So let me ask you, how do you feel about that?
Well, look, I mean, again, while I like, don't love some of these moves, I feel like it's middling, and then they're a lesser team overall without him today. They're good enough to get into the playoffs, and so, I don't know, carry water until he comes back, and then you're a much better team when he returns. You slot him out of that second line again with Taylor Hall, and you certainly have more depth after some of these moves that you've made here. Maybe you add someone else at the trade deadline. So if it does play out like that, and it's a big if, but if it does, I like it.
So I'll tell you what, here's the part of it that I like, that I hope it's a flexible type of thing. In other words, let's just say hypothetically, someone good becomes available at the trading deadline. Are the Bruins not going to get him now because Krejci's coming back? If that's their logic, I hate it.
Well, then, yeah, right.
Okay, I don't want them married to Krejci coming back. I hope it's not a promise. If they're approaching it from the standpoint of, well, let's see what it is down the road, great. What if Jack Studnicka is actually pretty good? I think Studnicka has a chance. Okay, I don't know if he's going to be a second-line center, but let's just say he's good and he's a third-line center and Coyle's functional as a second center, which, again, I doubt. I'm just saying if. I want the flexibility to say no to Krejci. I want that flexibility. Now, the idea of adding a guy like that for the playoff run, great. Okay, great. But, again, the word retirement's not in there, Murray.
Right.
If he's moving back to the Czech Republic to raise his kids, have his family move there, have his kids learn the culture, you know, speak with his parents, because he said his parents don't speak English, his kids don't speak Czech. So the whole idea is to introduce his kids
assimilate.
Immerse them in the culture, right? Immerse them in the culture. Fine, great, that's a personal decision. All the power to it. Why didn't he say he's retiring? Because he's not. He's leaving it open to come back here.
Also, something else to keep in mind, too, his wife's from here. So I would think that her family's still here, too. So is this a permanent move to the Czech Republic? I can't imagine so. Because, yeah. Candace, we all know, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, the wording of that statement, if Krejci's leaving, why didn't he say he's retiring from the NHL? He didn't. Matt's in Pembroke. Go ahead, Matt.
Matt,
are you ready? You there? Okay, see you later. He's gone. Brian's in a truck. Brian, what do you got?
I was ready to rip Sweeney for these moves, but after this conspiracy theory, I'm ready to crown him. Because I thought the off-season moves were really kind of underwhelming, and I just always thought Krejci was coming back with the way they did it. And so I actually had a trade scenario without Krejci, and that's setting Jake DeBrusk to the Devils for Nico Hischier. Hischier has had kind of a similar career to DeBrusk, but he had his best numbers with Taylor Hall on his line.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I still want them to move DeBrusk. My mind hasn't changed on that. The Bruins need a top four defenseman. They might even need a top pairing defenseman if you want to put Grizzlick in the right spot, because I don't think Grizzlick is a first pairing defenseman. And I love Grizzlick. But let's face it. There are certain guys you got to play. All guys. You got to play him in the right role. And so Grizzlick's not a first-pairing kind of guy. I would move DeBrusk for help on D. Maybe you got to pair him with someone else. Now that I think of it, can I tell you what I don't like about this Bruins plan? So I just want to make sure I'm understanding this. They're waiting on Rask. They're waiting on Krejci. Like, is this whole thing like we're just going to wait and let guys hold us hostage? And hostage is the wrong word, but you get the idea. Like, is it better to do it this way, or is it better to just cut the cord and move on?
Oh, it's ultimately better to just cut the cord and move on, because this does feel like a half measure. And I also think it speaks to the player empowerment that you see in that locker room. Again, one of the reasons I think, or maybe the main reason that Rask is still here, and that, you know, you have Don Sweeney talking about him like, oh, the great goalie situation we have and the door is open for him to return, is because they've empowered people like Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. And I think that they help call the shots down there. I really do, in terms of personnel moves or in someone like Rask. So I think that's why you don't see, you know, any kind of major upheaval with this team in recent years.
So independently, I feel better about Krejci sort of deciding on the fly than I do about Rask. And maybe it's because I feel like the Bruins have a young replacement for Rask that'll work, and they obviously went out and signed a goalie. So I don't feel like they're as hung up on Rask, I mean, on Krejci as they are on Rask.
Yeah, but that money for that new goalie out of Buffalo makes no sense when you're still leaving the door open for Rask to return.
So it does, when you add the two of them together, it's like, so what's this? Like, you're just going to let everybody hang out there and decide when they come back and they don't have to play the season? And it does feel like the player empowerment thing is very much real down there. Again, the Krejci part of it is intriguing to me because I just don't think they have a second line center. But I like Swayman. I think they have a goalie, and they did sign a replacement. But they're going to do the same thing with Rask. So what? Every guy who gets up in his years here and wants to play half a season, we'll see in the spring. That part of it does bug me a little.
I tell you what, though, I would love it for the comedy aspect, just because of how mad everyone was at the Tampa Bay Lightning and this Kucherov thing and the maneuvering that the Lightning did to bring him back in the postseason. If the Bruins were able to pull off something like that, just to see everyone get all mad again, not here, obviously, but that'd be kind of delicious.
I can tell you there's worse things that I've heard in sports about a guy jumping in and joining teams for the playoffs. I mean, this has happened in other sports where guys jump in mid-season. And if that's what the Bruins are doing with Krejci, I don't totally hate it. But again, Murray, to your point, the word retirement is not in there.
And that's the most obvious. That's like the key thing of all, like the most obvious thing of all. You read this statement. While I'm like really, you know, emphasizing, you know, take a look at the last paragraph, you're right to say it never actually says retire at all in any part of it. Like, he could be back. That's all. It's not, he's going to be. Who knows? But again, I'm just speculating here. Heard something. Speculating. But he leaves the door open here. You read this thing. Like you say, there's no word of retirement here. And then that last paragraph again. This is not goodbye. I will not be a stranger. I will be a Bruin forever. I will see you at the TD Garden soon. I'll always bleed black and gold. With gratitude, David. Like, he's leaving the door open.
Oh, he totally is. Yeah, he totally is. I'll tell you what, now that I think of it, I would like to, I'm going to have to do some research. I don't know if this is something we can do on the fly. How many guys who've, like, jumped in late have actually had an impact on a team and helped them win a championship? Like, I wonder if this type of thing even works. I don't know if it works. It'll work with Rask. I don't know if it'll work with Krejci. And again, I sort of believe in the cleaner cut. Like, just dump a guy and move on.
Hey, just quickly, a little more insight on this. If he were to return, reading from Ty Anderson here of 98.5 The Sports Hub, he just tweeted minutes ago, if Krejci does want to come back this year, he would need to pass through waivers and would need to sign before the trade deadline to be eligible for the postseason.
Okay, interesting. It has to pass through waivers so Someone else could claim him. Oh, that complicates things tremendously.
Sure does.
Yeah. Again, lots going on here on this Friday, on this agenda-free Friday on Felgram, as the MLB trading deadline now less than 90 minutes away. The Red Sox did make a deal late last night. Kyle Schwarber from the Washington Nationals. I've resisted telling you exactly how I feel about this deal. We'll do that next after McCarthy gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
The Sports Hub.
Why did the Red Sox pursue Schwarber from the Nats?
Yeah, I think it became somewhat likely that yesterday Anthony Rizzo was going to end up a Red Sox or a Yankee and Kyle Schwarber was going to end up a Red Sox or a Yankee. I think the Yankees kind of pushed with prospects a little more and ended up with Rizzo, especially the young outfielder Alcantara. Schwarber, the Red Sox did not need a left-hand hitter as badly as the Yankees, but it certainly balances an already strong lineup. Even more, championship big game proven, was hitting great before he hurt his hamstring. They will try to see if he can play some first base. He still is a couple of weeks away as he does his hamstring. But I mean, I would even ask D-Row, who knows hitting so well, once he comes back with everything that's done, if you had a big at bat in September, Gallo, Rizzo, Schwarber, how would you rank them? I'm not sure that the Red Sox didn't get the guy I'd want at the plate in the biggest spot.
Joel Sherman of the New York Post. He's covered baseball a long time, covered the Yankees a long time. And Joel knows his stuff. So I give Joel a lot of credit there because I think he's got that part of it right. That if you were to say a big at bat, Kyle Schwarber in the postseason has been good in his career. Although the last few years, not as good. People go back to 2016, remember how we performed then. And that sticks out. That is what has resonated, and it should. The big moments are what matter. But in his last 23 at-bats in the postseason, he's 3-for-23. Okay. Now, that said, I think he's .288 for his career with an OPS over 900. The bigger samples are what matter in baseball. And, you know, it's a fair point to say Kyle Schwarber has some history of producing in October. Rizzo doesn't. Rizzo's postseason numbers are bad.
But he has far more at-bats, too.
Yeah, and I didn't look at, I did not look at Gallo's, but has Gallo even played in the playoffs?
I don't believe he has. And Rizzo's just a better player. In general, I mean, you know, Schwarber's been a really up-and-down player in his career. He'll go through hot stretches where he's one of the most impactful players in baseball, and that just happened to coincide with that Cubs run in 2016, Maz, and he had an unbelievable June. I mean, he had, like, Barry Bonds-like numbers in June. But he's a really hit-or-miss player. He's an impact player when he's on, but he's a hit-or-miss player for sure.
Okay. But there's no way he helps at first base, right? Like, they can't transform him into a first baseman overnight. When you say, Matt, when you open up the show, he's played one game there?
One game. I think that's actually part of their plan. I think they are going to have him try and play some first base. Joel Sherman said it. I think Alex Spears said it. It's consistent with Heim Bloom's philosophy on first base, which is just kind of like, eh, screw it, anybody can play there, because that's what they've done at first base this year. Dahlbeck, now he played there in the minor league, so that's not necessarily fair. Franchi Cordero has played less than 10 games in his life at first base. Christian Arroyo, they put him out there at first base. So I would not be surprised if they threw this guy out there at first base, because that's their philosophy, is literally anybody can play there. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that philosophy, but that's their philosophy.
So sure, we're going to see those clips of, like, Hanley, when it was like Hanley Ramirez, when they tried to teach him, was it first base, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Hopefully it goes better with Kyle Schwarber. Yep.
So, and Murray, this gets to my point about what I don't like about the Schwarber deal. Where's the fit? Where's the fit? So if you were to say, well, because I look at Schwarber and I say he's a DH.
Yep.
Kyle Schwarber's a DH.
Softball player.
So what are you going to take, J.D. Martinez out of the lineup? You're going to put J.D. Martinez in the outfield? Like, that doesn't work. At whose expense? So then, you know, Verdugo comes out, or Hunter Renfroe comes out? Or, and I understand the mix and match thing, but at some point it does reach the stage where you say, well, I get the versatility thing, but this feels like a lesser deal if he is just a part-time player. What they need is someone who can play first base full-time. And when I say full-time, I mean 70% of the time at a minimum against right-handed pitching. So they don't have that. I don't think Schwarber plays first. And just as importantly, their defense at first sucks. It sucks. Their first base defense blows. So this doesn't address that. Again, I don't mind the trade in and of itself. They could use, you can always use an extra lefty bat, okay? But is that what this is? Just like a bench player? Is that how they're looking at it? Now, if Devers is hurt and they're worried about lefty power in the lineup, well, then that's another set of problems. And that creates, because Devers obviously is a quad thing and hasn't played the last couple of games, or didn't play last night. So, you know, I don't love it. I don't hate the player per se, but I don't love the move, because I don't think there's a great fit there. It just didn't feel like a need to get another left-handed hitting DH. I'd rather have Rizzo, if you want to know the truth.
Oh, totally. Rizzo's such a better fit. I mean, here's the thing. He makes them better, Maz, and I think they do need some depth in the outfield, because I'm not sure Duran's necessarily ready. The guy's hitting, what, 140? Something like that. I mean, a great play the other night, but I don't know if he's ready. I don't know if Hunter Renfroe is as good as he's been all year. I shouldn't say I don't know that. I know he's not as good as he's been all year. They got him with the idea that he was a platoon player. This is adding some depth in the outfield, which I like. And, you know, you can figure it out. Is it Schwarber, Verdugo, Renfroe, and Hernandez at second base? Well, sure, then that's fine. But you still need a first baseman. This makes them better, but it does not fix their primary need. You add a good hitter, an impact bat, all that, that's fine, that's good. but they need to do more. This cannot be their only move.
I mean, prior to the injury, he was absolutely raking, so yep. I like him in the lineup wherever they can slot him in. But from a defensive standpoint, I mean, I think we can all agree that Devers can be shaky at times at third. Would you trust him with a guy that's basically never played the position that he's throwing to? Like, if I'm Devers, I'd be terrified of that.
You should be terrified. First baseman. Again, it's just not a fit. It's not a fit. I mean, I think they had other areas in need. And this prospect they gave up, I like his profile. He was one of their top 10 prospects. And I'm not telling you that I know a lot about the kid because I don't.
Single A?
But he's 6 foot, he's right-handed, and he's got an ERA in the twos, and he's 19 years old. So I look at that and say, you gave up that for Kyle Schwarber? Could you have used that in another deal? So I need to see what happens here in the next hour and 15 minutes, but I don't see a great fit with Schwarber. And have we mentioned he's hurt? He's got a hamstring issue.
And it's a bad one, too, they say. Like a bad hamstring injury.
Well, so, that part's been really overlooked.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's hurt.
Yeah.
And again, those hamstring things can nag Murray, and he's not a speed guy, fine. But, you know, he doesn't play defense, really, and he's got a hamstring issue, and they gave up a 19-year-old pitcher with an ERA in the twos who appears to have pretty good control. So I just think you could have used a guy like that in a better deal. Again, I'm not insanely upset about it, but I think you had other needs that should have come first. So that's my thought on Schwarber. 617-779-0985. Back to your calls on Agenda Free Friday next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I see like having, you know, extremely good goaltending at that point in time. And again, Jeremy's in a position where we have flexibility. He could be the best goaltender. And then you feel like, okay, you not a lot of teams juggle with three, but you have opportunity if you needed to send Jeremy down and then get to the playoffs and play the best goaltender. Ultimately, you'd have, and Linus and Tuca in that case, as you spelled it, then that's hypothetical, but I think we're prepared in any way to go. What if you have an injury, you know, to somebody else? I'm knocking on wood here, but obviously you're just trying to be prepared. When you're trying to be a competitive team, you have to have depth. You know, we felt that as we went through the last two playoffs, and you came up short. So now we're trying to make sure that we've got the most competitive team we can and identify if we have some needs going forward that we may have to make some changes as well.
Bruins GM Don Sweeney on Tuukka Rask, obviously. We're going to get back to your calls, but first, another significant deal in MLB.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The fire sale in Chicago continues. Jeff Passan of ESPN Blue Checkmark. Breaking, the New York Mets finalizing a trade to acquire shortstop Javier Baez from the Chicago Cubs. Sources tell ESPN deal is pending medicals.
Okay, so, Javier Baez to the Mets.
Aggressive move by the Mets. They need bats. They do. And the Cubs just continue to sell off. Bryant has to be going somewhere soon. He's the last big one that the Cubs have to move. He's got to be going somewhere.
Boy, so they're stripping that thing to the bone.
They really are. Yeah, they're ripping it to pieces, Mark, because the Cubs now in the last 24 hours have traded Rizzo. They've traded Baez. They've traded Kimbrel.
Yep.
Am I leaving anyone out?
Well, and in the 48 hours before that, they traded Tepera and Chafin.
Correct.
Two big bullpen arms.
So it is. It's a complete teardown. It's a fire sale in Chicago. Chris Bryant's still available. We just mentioned that, and not that anybody cares about the Mets, but the middle of the infield now for the Mets, Francisco Lindor and Javier Baez. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. Interesting. A lot of, activity in New York. That's all good. I told you. This MLB trading deadline, off the charts.
That's been great, hasn't it?
Off the charts, the players that are moving. The Cubs are in the middle of all of it because they get serious talent there. The Red Sox so far, Kyle Schwarber. I told you, not good enough. It's not good enough. The other teams in the league are doing a lot to improve their rosters, multiple moves, yep, really across the board. Tampa Bay, I think, has Tampa Bay made anything beyond Nelson Cruz?
I know they
traded Rich Hill to the Mets, but that was a sell more than a buy. The Astros have added two players. The Blue Jays added Jose Barrios. The Yankees have added Rizzo and Gallo. Oakland's added Marte and Chafin. The White Sox have added two players, including Kimbrel today from the Cubs. So far, the Red Sox have a guy that they really don't have a position for. That's the part I don't like. I don't see a fit in Kyle Schwarber.
Maz, real quick, the Red Sox, the fourth most aggressive team in the division up until this point, the eighth most aggressive team in the American League at the deadline. That better change over the next hour. I mean, you got to keep up here. Hello, this is what it's like to be general manager of the Boston Red Sox, Chaim Bloom. Everybody else is getting better. You've got the best record in the American League, at least as of last night. You got to do something. We got an hour to go. You got to do something. Schwarber is not enough because everybody else is lapping you.
Yeah, so, I'd like to see another arm after seeing Eduardo Rodriguez again last night. He's not good this year. You can't rely on him as any solid part of the rotation going forward.
Yeah, an arm wouldn't be a bad thing, Murray. I agree. They could use an arm one way or another just for depth at this stage because you do start to worry a little bit there that some of these guys, A, are going to stay healthy or B, continue to perform. And let's not put our chips on Chris Sale either. Anthony's in Medford. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, Tony, I'm friggin' pissed. I mean, come on, Moneybags had me. You would think we were the Yankees. We were the team that wasn't and nine games out, and the Yankees were in first place. They're making all the deals. They stole Rizzo from us. You know, I was fine. We ain't going to get Scherz. I knew that was a bunch of crap. They put that at the Red Sox. But you know what, Tony? I thought we definitely were going to get Berrios, and then he goes somewhere else with the Blue Jays. I'm aggravated, really.
Yeah, you should be aggravated, Anthony. Again, not only did he go somewhere else, he went in the division. And not just for this year, for next year. So, look, I get it. I know the Red Sox weren't going to make a ton of blockbusters at this deadline because Bloom's trying to rebuild the thing from the inside out. But I do feel like all the other teams have been really active and the Red Sox haven't. And since you brought it up, Sean McAdam had a tweet earlier today that right now the Red Sox are pretty close to the luxury tax threshold. That if they were to make any other deals, they would either need another team to get salary relief, give them salary relief, or they just have to accept the fact that they're going over the deadline. And by the way, if you're getting salary relief, that means you have to give up more in terms of prospects.
Was that, do you think, because, I mean, you've worked side by side with him in the past covering the team. Is that him just doing his homework and putting that out there, or was that informed? Because I feel, you know, in other words, did someone say, like, well, don't expect any other moves because, you know, we're close to the line, which I would hate. Like, there, no team should complain about money. Like, you know, the Red Sox have no business, like, bitching about money and going over the threshold. They already did that kind of thing. This team actually has a legitimate shot to win the World Series. You need to add. You need to add an arm. You need to add a real first baseman.
So
they shouldn't be bitching about money.
So to answer your question, my gut is that McAdam heard it somewhere. And that's going to be some sort of justification to not making any other moves here at the deadline, to which I would say, why can't you go over?
Right.
The whole point of going under was that you could go over eventually. That's the whole reason you traded Mookie Betts, to reset your luxury tax penalties so you can then go into the tax again. I mean, if they don't go into the tax, what a horrible look that would be for this ownership group. And by the way, McAdam had it. I think Alex Speer had it, too. So, I mean, this is out there.
They heard this.
They're right up against it.
I'll tell you, honestly, if this is all they do and all these other teams are more aggressive, they deserve to get caught and they deserve to lose the division.
Sure do.
Scott's in Lunenburg. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
First thing, Tony, why did Tanner Houck get put back in Pawtucket?
Okay, so Scott, it's really a procedural thing. I'll explain it later, but it's not that big a deal. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, the Bruins. 4 years I've been going to the playoffs. I don't go any regular season games because I like watching them on TV, but I go with my kids to the playoffs every year, and every single year they're two guys short. And I'm done. I've spent a lot of money on the Bruins, and they don't do anything, and this proves last week what happens. And they're going to be bottom of the road team again. They're going to stink.
Okay.
And I am so pissed.
Okay, so Scott, listen, I have some good friends that are hardcore Bruins fans, and they feel similarly to you. So, Murray, let me ask you this question that a buddy of mine asked. And again, he's a diehard Bruins fan.
Sure.
Are they better or worse than they were at the end of the season?
Probably worse.
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 They're worse. You don't have Krejci. You don't have Lozon. Not that that's a big loss. And you didn't fill the hole on the left side of the D.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the most important thing. They haven't filled that hole on defense. You don't have Krejci. And look, I like the numbers that this goalie, this Linus Ullmark, put up in Buffalo, but he was also on Buffalo. And there's such an unknown. Like, I don't know jack about this guy. And they gave him real money. So there's a big question mark at the goaltender position, especially if you're going to be sending down Swayman to the AHL. Like, yeah, no, they're worse. They're worse than they were at the end of last year.
Now, again, I wouldn't say that they are horribly worse.
Yeah, they're not going to be like one of the worst teams in the league. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs.
And, you know, the hole on the left side of the D is significant. So that does worry me. I'm worried about that. But again, I think they'll still be fine in the regular season. But I look at it and say Tampa's come back to the field a little bit. But do you think the Bruins have made up ground, enough ground to look at them and say, oh, they can make a run at a cup? And
I don't.
Again, I think they're a little worse. So if you're a Bruins fan, you should be frustrated by that. And let's face it, part of the reason that they have to have Tuukka Rask and David Krejci on standby, which is effectively what they're doing, they're putting them both on standby. Murray said at the beginning of the show today that he is, and you can call it informed speculation, call it whatever you want. In fact, Murray, why don't you, tell you what, hold tight, we'll remind everybody what Murray said at the beginning of the show, and we'll add the quarterback situation in Foxborough to the discussion, because Cam Newton and Mac Jones did speak today. Cam Newton said a couple things that I thought were interesting. We'll get to that, adding football on an agenda-free Friday on Felgram as McCarthy's Get Your Headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.